If your convenience or grocery store is running a grab-and-go program, and you just know there must be a faster, smarter way to label, prep, and ensure your food is fresh and safe, it's time to discover BOHA. BOHA is your single platform that digitizes manual error-prone tasks like labeling, prepping, temping, and equipment monitoring. If you need grab-and-go labels in an instant, BOHA. If you want to make sure your team is always alerted to clean the counters or refresh the condiments, BOHA. Or if you want to guarantee temps get logged every time, you guessed it, BOHA. To see how BOHA makes successful grab-and-go programs possible, connect with us at bohatechnology.com. That's B-O-H-A technology.com.
Hello, I'm Greg Lindenberg, an editor with CSP, and I'm speaking with Tom Hart, Director of Business Development for Ready Training Online, or RTO, Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, which offers crime prevention as part of their training for convenience store retailers. Tom started as a C-store clerk at a Wilson Farms store in Buffalo, New York. Later, he became COO of Store 24, a C-store chain in Boston. In 1978, while working at Wilson Farms, Tom was robbed at gunpoint, and the experience set him on a career path to help others who find themselves in the same situation. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Greg. Happy to be here.
Good, good. So please tell us about that experience.
Yeah, so this goes back quite a ways. I've been in convenience my whole life, and this was back when I was 18 years old, back in 1978, and I was only a few months into the job. So I ended up being called in at the last minute. Someone called in sick. And then I was given the cashier her break. So she was in the back room. I'm running register. You know, there are about five or six customers in the store milling around when a man walks in the door with a ski mask pulled down over his face. Now, this is Buffalo, New York in February. So that isn't really that strange and alarming. But then he pointed a gun at me over the counter and waved it at a few customers shopping in the store and kind of yelled out, "Don't move." And it just, at the time, it seemed so unreal to me. It seemed like a prank. And I was in the middle of a transaction at the time. I thought, that's kind of strange. But then his accomplice, who I didn't even see walk in, came around behind the counter, pushed open the counter gate, and put the barrel of the gun to the side of the head.
Wow.
And then I kind of looked sideways at him. You know, motion with my hands like up a little bit, like, okay, like I'm cooperating. And I knew then, like, okay, this is a serious situation I'm in right now. And something I had never thought I would be in. And back then, training, and I worked for a great company, was probably like a sign in the back room, right? And there was a young boy, I remember over the counter that I was transacting, his mother was with him. And we kind of locked eyes, and in that moment, it's almost like her and I were saying, like, let's get through this. Let's not panic and worry. And the man in the ski mask next to me said, like, open the drawers. So, of course, like, I'm just thinking, cooperate, right? And stay as calm as you possibly can. And back then, there were very, Greg, rudimentary alarm devices. So in the register, there was a little device with two decoy dollar bills on it, and you remove them, a silent alarm would go off to the police station. And I remember we always thought, like, it just looks kind of phony. And in your mind, it's going through, like, he's going to see that and be upset. But he didn't skip a beat. And it sounds like I was contemplating that for a long time. These are, like, split-second things that are going through someone's mind when this is going on. We cooperated. You know, luckily that night, they just wanted to get out of there. They emptied both registers out through the front door. So the only instinct that was in me at the time was like, I think I should lock the door right now. Right? Seemed like a good idea. And the customers were kind of frozen at that point. No one said anything to each other. I just went to the door. I locked it, said, I'm going to go call the police, not knowing if the silent alarm worked a lot or not. When I reached the end of the aisle, of course, the police were already banging on the door. Mm-hmm. So it worked pretty quickly. They got there fast. And, you know, they took the statements. Everything worked out for me that night. I was fortunate that nothing happened. And later in life, you know, spending a large part of my career, Greg, in operations, I responded to many more robberies as like a supervisor and other criminal activity, being a DM and director of operations. But because of that event, I always had training, crime prevention awareness top of mind, and trying to put the best practices as part of our SOPs. I took the responsibility very seriously, whether that impacted me or not, but it was something that, you know, I knew could happen at any given time in the business.
Wow. And so how did that experience lead you to work for RTO?
So it's interesting that I had met Jeff, the CEO of RTO, back in 2009, and I had just left retail and started my own consulting business. And someone introduced me to Jeff. And he was doing online training called the e-learning back then. He had built an LMS, but we didn't, I don't even think the term LMS was out at the time. No one knew it existed or was needed. There weren't any tablets and computers were locked in offices. We had a tough battle in front of us. But Jeff had a vision that frontline employees needed consistent training, gave around some pizzerias, and needed a system of checks and balances. So he said, hey, I need this content for convenience store industries. I was told you worked in the industry a long time. Can we collaborate and write some content? And I said, absolutely. I think that would be terrific. And one of the first modules we created together was around robbery and employee safety. And I said, hey, this is something that I think we need to start with. The reason, Greg, I think it was important is it's a topic. I think managers either they miss or they're a little uncomfortable talking about it because it's a difficult conversation to have with a new employee about a potential robbery. And I really felt like even back when I was in operations, it was an obligation to inform someone that this could possibly happen. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's scary and it's a new employee. You're like, I need to talk to you about this, but it could happen to them in the first shift, right? And them not being prepared can put everyone in the safe environments. This was a way for us to work together and create a module that it was a personal way for me to support frontline employees. It was a way for Jeff, you know, to get started in the convenience business with something very important. And it's interesting. One of my clients that I was consulting, they just rolled out, it was Dwight, and they rolled out RTO. They indeed did have a robbery. And I was kind of in the background of in the office and heard about it. The employee told the manager, hey, I just followed all the steps in that video that they watched a few weeks ago. I can't tell you, Dwight and I just looked at each other and it was very rewarding to me. Like there are probably many untold stories of people that get trained in general and how it helps them.
Right.
I happened to hear about that one and it was a way to say like, hey, maybe it's a way for me to get back. I've had great mentors in my life and opportunities, and that's how it all started.
Oh, great. Tell me a little bit more about RTO.
So we're primarily focused in convenience and food service, those are the two main areas. Beyond safety, you know, we'll talk about or teach about compliance specifically, like the important topics, right? Responsible alcohol and tobacco, harassment. And but we also train, you know, in developing advanced skills for people that were on their career journey, just like I was, you know, along the way. We call it Gears for Your Career, but it's a way for people to reach their full potential. You know, training teams and merchandising and conflict resolution and loss prevention, food safety. Even some of the new stuff, Greg, that are happening, Bitcoin's new, but there's already scams out there being pulled on folks in stores. And then, of course, important topics like DEI. So, you know, every day for me to be part of helping frontline teams is something I've been doing back since 1978. You know, work with people side by side and managers reaching their career goals like I was able to do. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, cool. So what are a few of the basics of that crime prevention training?
Yeah, so in general, what we try to do is keep it really simple and practical for team members. It's the same belief I had when I was in operations, is what can I do in my store to make it safe? And use the key word there, prevention, right? We know it isn't that we want to catch something or wait for something to happen. We want to try to prevent it, and you can do that. So one of the ways, and you hear it all the time, but greeting customers is key. And the reason for that is people that are looking for trouble, they want to go unnoticed. You know, an intent-to-friendly crew, that's job one. I think sometimes people think that's lip service, but it's really not. It's really when they walk in the store and they see that people are engaging, they don't want that. The other is well-lit locations. It communicates that the operator is experienced and they care. And dimly lit stores communicate just the opposite.
Right.
So people that are want to commit some crimes or bad activity, you know, they want to keep a low profile. So they look for that, right? Mm-hmm. A good view into the store. We operated a lot of stores at Store 44 in Boston. And the police would actually stop in if we were blocking a barrier from the store, from the street. They would say, hey, remove that. They wanted to see into the store. The criminals want the opposite. They want a barrier so no one could see into your store. So take a look at that with fresh eyes and make sure that you have kind of an open book there in your front window. The industry does a really good job with that today. I think they really do. The next one is communication. And by that, I'm talking about the people in the store, like communicating with each other about things they see. Do they see someone that looks suspicious, or maybe something's broken? A lot of times, folks at night, you know, they'll see things. What they got to do is communicate that this seems to be a problem. One of the next critical ones are productive teams. When you walk into a store, and I know you visit a lot of convenience stores, you get a feeling when you walk in, this team is like, they're active, they're experienced, they're engaged, like they're talking to each other, they're moving around. Criminals, they want to catch you off guard, right? So you're looking at your phone or you're not paying attention, it's quiet in the store, no one's busy. They want that. They don't want a team that seems like, you know, they're on top of their game. So I always ask people, like, hey, when you're out on the sales floor, engage, so they know that you're aware of what's going on in the store. And the last one I'll give for today is a tip. Get involved in your community meetings and local police. We used to meet with the chief of police in Boston on a regular basis and community meetings. It's so important to get involved in regular community meetings and get out there.
How does community involvement play a role?
So I'll share a situation I had when I was director of operations of I lost touch with the community and what I did to get it back. So it's a quick story. So one day I received a notice in the mail to attend a community meeting, right? And these community meetings are usually held during the week at like 7 o'clock at night. And you'd be on the agenda. So our company was last on the agenda. So I attended, went through, and I got the feeling like everyone knew each other except for me. And I felt a little bit like an outsider there. I'm like, okay, you know, this is interesting. So it came time for me, and everyone else left, but the members of the community, which I thought was a little bit strange, like, here I am. So I get up there, and I got hit with all kinds of problems that I was not aware of. And I didn't know these things were going on, and they're talking about the lighting and the people hanging around the stores, and I have a lot of activity around there, and I never attend these meetings. And you know what? After I got over the hurt, I embrace that as a gift because they were right. Like, I wasn't aware. And I had lost touch. I knew what the financials were, and I knew what people in the store and, you know, the marketing plans, but I lost touch with the community, and that taught me an important lesson. So we attended those meetings on a regular basis. We won them back. We solved some of the issues and worked with them, you know, as good neighbors on the other ones. But more importantly, we started an outreach program. So we had all our DMs say, like, if this has happened in this one community, we got to go out and actually find out when these community meetings are happening around our stores, ask to attend. We want to be proactive in the outreach. And it really helped us become a better operator because of that. So I encourage people, it helps in safety and it helps be in awareness of the communities you operate, just exactly what is happening.
Wow, that's a great tip. These are all great tips. So thanks for sharing them. You've written a book about your C-Store experiences called Life in Moments, Inspiration, Determination, and Gift. Can you share a couple anecdotes from that?
Sure. Yeah, I get two in particular that stand out. And one is about it's a series of stories I write. You're not going to get to like do these 10 things and you'll improve your business. It's really about some of the mistakes I made and lessons I've learned along the way and how I reflected on those in life. So the first one is about mentorship. That I talked a lot about my mentor, Bob Gordon, at Store 24. So to tell you a little story to kind of relate to that, I met Bob back when I was a store manager. I run in one of his stores, and he came in at night. I was working second shift. We were shorthanded, and he came up and said, "Hey, are you the new manager?" It looked like he was a bunch of people that left dinner. And I said, "Yeah." So we met before. And he said, "I'm Bob Gordon. I work in the office." Now, he didn't announce himself as the CEO or the owner. Kind of, you know who I am? He simply said, "I work in the office." But I knew who he was because his name was on my paycheck. So right away, I kind of straightened up. I'm like, "Oh, hey, Bob, how are you?" And, you know, it was when I started out. I started out as a store manager for Bob. He kind of took me under his wing. He gave me the coaching. He pushed me out of my comfort zone pretty hard. Which sometimes I would, you know, back down. I'm like, what's going on here? But I really appreciate it now looking back. He gave me the confidence to go on to become a DM. I became a director of operations for Bob, eventually VP of marketing, and then as chief operating officer. And it's funny, Greg, like along the way, it's not a position I was ever planning to hold. And I think that happens a lot. That's why I love the convenience store industry. I didn't really have a career plan or like dreams of moving up the corporate ladder. I just focused on the responsibilities in front of me. There's always so many things happening in convenience. And that was the plan. Like that was it, what I'm doing right now. And, you know, I didn't need to look into the future for my career goal. I was living it every day. And that was good enough for me. And I keep in touch with Bob still today. And I reflect a lot on it. You know, I have coffee in the morning with our patio and think about our history together. And really the simplest things come to mind, like dinners we share together in Boston and difficult moments we resolve together. We'd always meet on Friday afternoons, you know, resolving just challenging situations. And he really gave me the opportunity of a lifetime. And I have a profound sense of gratitude for him. So I attended his 80th birthday party. Couple of years ago, and he was a family and friends, and it was just so much fun seeing him, you know, smile as he was surrounded by everyone. And it's just, it was great to be there. I was reflecting on just a great moment that I wasn't the only one lucky enough to have like Bob in my life. And what's great about that, and I think everyone's probably, if they hear the story, thinking about their own mentors in their life, he started out as my boss. He became my mentor. And today he's my friend. And that's pretty cool. Like, and like,
that's
to be
great.
Able to do that. I have a number of those people. Yeah. I'm sure you have some too.
Sure. I do. About.
Yeah. And so the other one, I'll share is about working midnight. That might be like, you know, what do you learn on a working midnight? And back then I thought it was a hardship because I was a store manager and I lost my midnight person and I worked midnight for a whole summer in Charlestown. And looking back, and even shortly after that, I found it was really an enriching experience. So working midnight, if those of you who have done it, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. But it opens up a new view of the world I would have never experienced if I didn't have that opportunity. So there's something special, I will tell you, that takes place during the night when most people are sleeping. There's like a cascading change. And you get to observe how the world wakes up, right? And it shakes off the previous day. So I'll go through a couple stages. During the first part of the night, there's the people who probably stayed up a little later than they should have. and maybe had one or too many drinks, right? And you're like, oh, I got to keep an eye on these folks. They get come in rowdy, and that's the first hour or two of the night. But you also get the people that are getting off their shift, and you get to know these people, right? So they're picking up a sandwich before they head home. You see them on a regular basis, and it's great being there for them to come in. Then there's the early risers who head to work. These aren't the 7 a.m. people. These are the 4 a.m. people that nurses and factory workers and getting their coffee before the local shops are even open. So like we're the only place open, right? And they're coming in. Then there's the first responders and the police. I always had Bo, who's a veteran police officer. He'd always pop in and say, Tommy, how you doing? Everybody treating you okay? And he'd come in for his coffee. And I always look forward to him coming in. And a couple more folks like Bobby, the Boston Globe driver, drop off. Always a kind word, Greg. Like, happiest guy you could be. 3 a.m. on the mark, thrown in the papers. And this group of older gentlemen would descend on the papers like there's breaking news, but it was really to have coffee and talk about the Celtics and banter back and forth. And lastly, and everyone's going to relate to this if you work those shifts, Marjorie, who was my favorite customer, she'd come in at 4 a.m. every day and like help me brew coffee and clean the counter. She didn't want a job. She wanted some company. And she loved coming in every day. And I look forward to seeing her. It was a really special time each night. It's like this community of people that prepare the world so it's ready for everyone else, you know, as they wake up and begin the day. It's like they had this common bond without even speaking a word amongst them. It was just a look in their eyes I got to know and love. So, you know, the coffee, I think every night, coffee be ready, newspapers were ready. We were there to help them get started. And I learned so much, and experiences are part of like who you are, but it's how you embrace those moments as you go through life to make the future and future outcomes. So every person, every moment, yeah, I consider them truly gifts. So just those are a couple experiences I had, and as I'm sure everybody could relate to in this great world of convenience that I've been lucky enough to be part of.
Well, that's quite a contrast between the robbery and then the positive experience of that shift.
No doubt. Yeah. Yeah, it's been great. And I will tell you that there are so many stories out there. I see them all the time of, you know, people just working their way up in convenience. You could start out as a sales associate and be a DM, you know, in a few years, and you're on your way. Great opportunities for folks.
Well, we appreciate you sharing all this with us, and maybe we'll chat again and hear some more stories.
Thank you so much, Greg. I really appreciate it.